Turning to the hymn number 28 to commence this first service of the new year. And of course, I trust you will be blessed and encouraged as we lift up our hearts unto the Lord and as we turn unto Him today to seek His face and His blessing. Number 28 is our opening hymn, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And if you're a true Ontarian, you can probably put a bit of snow in there somewhere so that we can glorify the Lord even in that beautiful white covering that we have upon all the ugly things of this world. And so I trust we will worship the Lord in a sense of His beauty and His wonderful glory that one day we shall enter into. Our first hymn then is number 28. Let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We are mindful today of this pandemic that is raging very rapidly, certainly not far from any one of us, and that is impacting on our nation, our communities, indeed on our churches, our homes. And we should remember today those that are either unwell, their lives are curtailed, some in hospital, our medical workers are overstretched, and yet do we see a turning to God? That ought to be our great burden. So let's pray that the Lord will have mercy, and the Lord in his sovereign power will bring this soon to an end and deliver us from this curse, this pandemic. God has sent it. God has allowed it. And only he can end it. And so as children of God and believers in the power of the Lord, it is right that we cry to him that he will have mercy and out of this evil bring great good for his own name and to extend his own church. Let's unite in prayer. Father, we come to thee in prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, thou dost know the burden that is upon the whole world at this time, and the grief, the struggles, the sorrows that it brings to so many homes. O Lord, we cry out that thou wilt be gracious. As the Psalm 80 tells us, cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Thou art our deliverer. And we thank thee that even after 2 years of this pandemic, that we're still here, able and strong to come to thy house, able to worship thee. And O Lord, that you have given us this grace to be overcomers, not only in the physical burden, but also the spiritual burden, the pressure that it brings every Christian under as we wonder what the Lord our God is doing. But we know today that thou art the Lord of creation, and thou art Lord over all the nations of the world, and that you shall one day bring every knee to bow at thy name. Lord, we ask that you will enlighten us and that you will strengthen us, that our faith may not diminish, our faith may not grow weary and cold, but that you will, by your Spirit, cause us to be strengthened in the inner man. That power and seed of regeneration, that resurrection of our very souls out of the spirit of death into new life in Christ Jesus. We pray this morning that thou wilt stir within us a new lively faith that will enable us to lay hold upon the God of our salvation, upon the Redeemer who gave himself unto death to bring life and liberty and blessing into our own souls. We thank thee for the liberty of coming to the throne of grace by this new and living way, by the blood of Jesus. O God, stir our hearts to lay hold upon thee, our God, with boldness, for thou hast called us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, we come therefore to ask great petitions, and pray that thou wilt do great things for thy church in these times. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt cause the fear of man to truly become the fear of God, that thou wilt remember those that have been brought to the very brink of death, that they will even be moved to seek salvation from the powers of death to know eternal life. We know that there is such great spiritual darkness. Lord, thou alone can send the light into the souls of men, women, boys and girls in this nation. Remember our congregations, our denomination, and remember our homes. Lord, that's where we live out the battle of faith. Every morning we must arise in the confidence that the Lord is with us. And every evening we must close the day with a sense that the Lord has been our helper. I pray for fathers and mothers. We pray for marriages. We pray for children in the family. O Lord, we ask Thee that You will make our homes to be little churches, places where the Lord will be present, where Your Word will be enjoyed, where Your Spirit will mightily empower, and where there will be much glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, if You don't change our homes, we will never change a nation. We pray for those that live without Christ, without a Savior. Lord, have mercy. We think of our neighbors. They live within feet of where we dwell, but their feet are on the way to hell. Thou hast had mercy on us. Lord, grant that we might be a fingerpost, a light and a lamp to their evil, false ways. And may You have mercy. We think of unsaved family members. Lord, this is our great lament. We cry out, O Lord, for household salvation. And may it please Thee, not only in a new year, but speedily, to bring that lost one home into the ark of safety and salvation. Lord, remember Your people here today that have come to worship Thee. Remember those who join us by webcast. Lord, be good, be near, be with us to bless. Deliver us from every distraction, and may this be a hallowed hour when heaven will come down, when we will know that we have been in the sanctuary with the Lord, and Your presence was truly real to us. The Lord was in the midst. We ask this earnestly, by faith, through the blood, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Number 19 is our next hymn. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise. 19. Let's stand to sing, please. Thank you. Let's be seated, please. Our Bible reading now, and we turn to John chapter 3. We're going to read just a few verses, beginning at verse 14. And I'm choosing a short reading because in the message today, there are some extensive portions that I want to read. So we're not trimming down the Word of God, but we are allowing time to do that in the message later on. So let's turn to John 3, verse 14, down to verse 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today and speak to us in our service this morning. Very nice to have Mr. Newell to bring the announcements today. Nice for me, that is. I'm relieved from the burden of the details. So we'll call on our brother to come, welcome you, and bring the announcements.
Well, it's good to see everyone here this morning, and I maybe take this opportunity to wish everyone a very happy new year, and may it be a blessed one, and may the Lord work in each family in this church and in each one of our lives personally. So it is nice to see everyone here this morning, and of course I extend that to those that are watching online, that they would be feel very welcomed into their service this morning, and that they too would be blessed. Of course, our preacher this morning is, again, the Reverend Gallagher, and we have really enjoyed Mr. Gallagher's preaching over this past few weeks, and we look forward today to hearing him again preaching the Word of God, and, of course, again this evening. The weekly announcements is pretty straightforward again, although we're getting back into the run of things again now that we're into the new year. On Wednesday, we have, of course, the Bible study and prayer time. And God willing, our pastor, Dr. Saunders, will be back again to take that meeting. And the advance announcements is there. And, of course, next week with Sunday school will recommence again. And so we need to get back into the swing of things and getting up a little bit earlier in the mornings. Sunday school will be at 10:05. And then, of course, the morning worship. And after the morning worship, will be the communion service. So do keep that in mind as well. And if God willing, our pastor will be back again to bring the messages on next Lord's Day. Let's see. So the Bible reading calendar is in the foyer for anyone that would like a hard copy. They're available there. And then I just want to remind everyone as well that there is the week of prayer on January the 26th, and during that Wednesday of that week, there will be a baptismal service, God willing, and anyone that feels led of the Lord and hasn't been baptized, if you feel God speaking to you in this matter, you can see our pastor and contact him about that and talk to him about that. Special prayer requests, of course, remember the people that is on that list. They're in much need of our prayers. And do remember our brother Ron and Dr. McClellan here, Serene. And, of course, remember as well Rebecca Chandler, and keep her in prayer. But this Wednesday, God willing, our school will recommence. So do remember that. And with the ever-changing rules and regulations, it is very difficult to keep on top of all this. And so pray for Jill and for all that are in administration there. Do pray for them, that God will help them. Pray for our parents, pray for our teachers, and pray for our students. Pray that God will bless Whitfield this year, and that many of these young people will come to know the Lord. We know that many do come to know the Lord throughout Whitfield, and that is our hope and that is our desire, to see people raised up to love the Lord and to serve him. So I do think that that's most of the announcements. I do remember our seniors, the list is there before you, and keep them in prayer at this time as well. I'm going to hand it back now to our brother.
Thank you, brother. Well, again, I do appreciate that, and I like that announcement of 5 minutes to. Does that come from the adage of if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late? My dad used to tell me that leave yourself enough time to walk it. But then he was a farmer and didn't really adventure too many places. I don't think we could have done that this morning as we have come here to join with you in church. And I think this must be the real Ontario with ice and snow around us. My neighbor has been scaring me about the depth of snow that can come in the Barrie area. We haven't seen it yet, but it looks like it may not be long until some of their predictions will be fulfilled now that we're into January. Mind you, over in Vancouver, they've had a big dump of snow in the last few days, more than they are certainly used to, and so it's right across the country. Some people keep talking about global warming, but I'm not losing any sleep over that just yet, as I waken up in the morning and see the frost and so on. So the Lord keepeth the seasons, summer and winter and so on, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Another hymn to praise the Lord, it's number 75. Number 75, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches deep where sinners dwell. 75. Let's stand to sing it. let's stand to pray a moment. Please remember the Reverend D'Adorno and his family who also have contracted COVID this week. There is no service in Barry Church this morning because Frankie lives in the same home. Therefore, it would not be wise for him to go out and conduct the service. And I think he has had a bout of it as well. So this is impacting. And we pray that the Lord will be gracious to heal and restore. Bless his people. Let's bow together as we remember them and as we come to the Lord's word. Our Father in heaven, thou art the keeper and the healer of thy people. We commend to thee the D'Adorno family today. We pray that thou will raise them to health and strength and in short order, that you will bless the Barry congregation as they are without services, and that they may soon resume. We pray that you will be near your people. Lord, these are times when it's difficult to sort out what is the hand of God at work upon the nations and their wickedness, and the hand of God upon your church. And surely, Lord, it is a time of humiliation for us all to bend the knee and recognize that thou art Lord. And we ask, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And then we remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank you, Father, that you do so love us with an eternal love. Help us to declare that today, to encourage one another in this love of God, and breathe upon us by the Holy Ghost. We need a Holy Ghost-filled preacher today, and we need Holy Ghost hearing of the Word today. Do it, Lord. Come to us. Minister to our hearts. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. We're opening our Bibles again at John chapter 3. And yes, our text is verse 16. That well-known text to so many. Probably the world's best-known Bible text. And yet, sadly, we could not say that every Canadian knows John 3:16. And how sad that is. And it reminds us that we have a great deal of evangelism yet to do in this beloved and privileged country of Canada, because there are many that do not even know this wonderful Bible text, which in 25 words gives us the whole gospel from A to Z, or Z, as some of our American friends might say. I want to preach on it today because it is the text where I started my gospel preaching. I was 20 years old and I was called upon by the youth fellowship in our church to speak on a Saturday evening at an evangelistic meeting in Oma Free Presbyterian Church. I had just left the Young Farmers Club. I had told them I had become a Christian and that I would not be attending their functions anymore. And I took an opportunity to invite them to come and join in on that Saturday evening service. And some did. And I took as my text John 3:16. I have no idea how I handled it. No idea of how I preached it. I don't have the notes on it anymore. But in the goodness of God, in that meeting, there was a young boy who indicated that he would like to be saved. And I remember talking with him afterwards, and I was such a new Christian myself, I hardly knew how to guide him. And I took what was then Christ is the Answer booklet as a guide on how to guide him and how to trust in the Lord. And on this first Sunday of the year, I think I can do no better than to come back to John 3:16 to preach this message of the gospel. And may God, by His Spirit, seal this text, this gospel truth, to your heart and to some soul today that needs the Lord Jesus. Here is my outline, and I want you to follow it very carefully. In this text, we see that the Lord Jesus is the Son of the Father's infinite love. In this text, we see that the Lord Jesus is the Father's gift to His covenant people. In this text, we see the Lord Jesus is the bearer of the Father's holy wrath. And then fourthly, so you may not get an early lunch today, you may have to bear with me a little bit. The fourth point here, the Lord Jesus is the guarantee of the Father's eternal life. The guarantee. Of all these things in one text, it is all about the Lord Jesus, for He is the Savior that you need. You probably heard that before. And you wonder why you keep getting bombarded with this same exhortation. You need the Lord Jesus in your life. Well, John 3:16 will make that abundantly clear to you, and that's my prayer today. So the Lord Jesus is the Son of the Father's infinite love. We are back here to the term the only begotten Son. That simply means that He is totally, absolutely equal with the Father. He is the Father's other self, three persons in the Trinity, equal in power and in glory. We need to understand the bond, the delight that was in the Father's heart for His own Son. To grasp that and to do it from the Bible, I want you now to turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. And let us read together from verse 24. Proverbs chapter 8. And we'll begin at verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. This is referring to the Lord Jesus. It is messianic. It is without question an insight, a window into the existence of the Son with the Father before His incarnation. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. In that statement, you begin to understand the delight that God the Father took in His Son. And that delight was reciprocal. The Lord Jesus delighted in the Father. There was no tension in the Trinity. There was no division between the purposes, the desires of Father and Son. When our Lord Jesus came into this world, He came to glorify the Father, to do His will. All His ways honored His Father. And those who honor Him honored the Father. And so this is that family union that was between the Father. It was a family love. It was a reciprocal love. And it was a divine love. It is immeasurable. And while Proverbs 8 gives us that little window into the Trinity and the union, the delight, the communion the Father had with the Son, yet how can we possibly measure the love of God for His own Son? We certainly know that it was beyond human love because it was infinite. It was beyond the love of angels. It was much more than in angelic communion. And it is beyond all the combined love of the creation. If we had opportunity, we could try and paint a picture of all the love that is poured into the hearts of husbands around the world for their wives, of wives for their husbands, of family blessings and joys, and pour them all into one great container, and it would still fall far short of the love that was in the Father's heart for His own Son. Being infinite love, it was unending, uninterruptible. It was endless communion. Nothing would cut it off. And Jesus Himself, if we know Him, comprehend Him, is the measure of the Father's delight in Him. And so we begin to measure the love of God for us. You cannot understand how much God loves you until you comprehend how much God loved His own Son. Because this text says it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The love that He has for souls in this world is up there with the love, the immeasurable love that He has given to His own Son. And the question is, why? Why would the self-existent, self-fulfilling God of glory take an interest in the souls of sinful men and to love them to such a degree? That's the wonder of it all. That's the amazing fact of God's grace toward His people. And the Bible tells me, and I'll share the text with you that I base this on, it's John 15, verse 9, that the measure by which the Father loves His Son, the Lord Jesus loves you and me. Now again, that's beyond me. It's incalculable. John 15, verse 9. It's a great text. And if you were to get a hold of this text today, it will melt your heart. As the Father hath loved me, so the same degree, the same kind of love, the same amazing love, have I loved you? Do you understand what a friend we have in Jesus? Do you understand the nature of His love for your soul? And He tells us, continue ye in my love. The sad thing is that many of us lose that first love, that fresh gush of delight in the Savior's saving and loving our souls. Continue ye in my love. If you don't get anything else out of this message today, I would pray that this text would be burned into your mind and heart. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And so the Lord Jesus is the very gift of the Father's love. The Lord Jesus is the Father's gift to His covenant people. You may be asking, who are those people whom the Father so loves? It is described here as the world. But does that mean universalism? That every child born into the human race, sons of Adam, are the object of the Father's love? We know that not all the sons of Adam go to heaven. We know that there is a broad road that leads to destruction, and many there are that go in thereon. Narrow is the way to heaven, and few there be that find it. Covenant people are an elect people. They are a definite number of people chosen out of the world, out of every nation, tribe, and tongue. They are called in this text the whosoever. Now, it's not all and every man, but it's all who believe. So none are excluded who believe. I cannot tell you who the elect are. I do not know the number of Canadians whose names are from all eternity marked in the book of eternal life. But I can hear the profession of faith of the sinner that says, I believe. And he or she is a whosoever, included, accepted, and saved for all eternity. None are left out who believe. Faith is what makes Jesus to be your personal Savior. And the Lord Jesus is the gift of God. He's a covenant Savior who possesses all the riches of God. In Ephesians 1:3, we're told, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So He comes to us as the Father's gift, and He comes bearing gifts. He's the giver who giveth and giveth and giveth again. This is the wonder of this glorious gospel. Now, do you know that? Are you now a believer in the Lord Jesus? Are you one of the whosoever? Only when you believe can you put your name in. Now, think of the wonderful hymn, If I've Jesus, Jesus only, what though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone, longing mid my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown. If I've Jesus, Jesus only, then my sky shall have a gem. He's a sun of brightest splendor and the star of Bethlehem. As a believer in the Lord Jesus, how rich we are. How we have every blessing in spiritual and heavenly places. I trust that today that you are a whosoever, that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus. There is no reason for you to be on the outside, excluded, a stranger to the love of God. We're inviting you into the family of believers that enjoy all the gift of God that is in Christ Jesus. Number three, then, the Lord Jesus is the bearer of the Father's holy wrath. You'll notice our text, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You might ask, what? Did the Son of God actually teach on earth that men perish and lose their souls? And what possibly does that mean? The critic will say, well, they are annihilated. They're gone. They just vaporized. They're no more. Is that what the Lord Jesus meant when he said souls would perish? Well, let the Lord himself define what he meant. Turn to Matthew chapter 10 and to verse 28. And you'll see the same word in the Greek, it's apolumai, and it's translated in the English, John 3:16, perish. Here in Matthew 10 and verse 28, it is translated destroy. Now again, the critic might say, what does that mean? Does it mean annihilation, that the soul is no more, that it is simply vanished into space and gone? What did the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, what meaning did he pour into the term apolumai, perish or destroy? Well, let's read the text here, Matthew 10, 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so this word perish is much more than just the annihilation of the body. It's the much more than just the annihilation of the spirit or the soul. You will see that they continue to exist. The body and the soul destroyed in hell, Jesus said. And the Lord Jesus came to keep souls from perishing. And it involves hell because it refers to both body and soul. It's also perpetual hell, endless hell, because it is the counterpart of eternal heaven or eternal life. And of course, the Lord Jesus, how did he come that men might not perish? By becoming the bearer of the Father's holy wrath. Now I add in there the word holy wrath because it's the right thing. Now you need to grasp this. It was the right thing that we go to hell. It was right for a holy God to send you and me to hell for all eternity. We should have perished. We should have left this world and gone into the fiery damned to endure torment forever because we were rebels against a holy God. But our Lord Jesus entered in. He was sent by the Father to do a work that souls might not perish. And in doing so, the Lord Jesus took upon him all the hell, all the wrath, all the holy indignation of a God who hates sin with a holy hatred, so that you and I would not bear one drop of that wrath of God. Jesus drank the cup, and he drank it dry, so that there is no wrath for me. Did you know that that's what happened at the cross? Did you know that's what Jesus accomplished in his atoning death, in the shedding of his blood? And that blood, it covers over out of view your sins. So that God who looks upon men and he sees us in our nakedness of sin, his holy eyes see the very recesses of our corrupt hearts. But when that blood is applied, that atonement is made and appropriated, God looks upon the sinner and he sees no sin. nothing. Who shall lay any charge against God's elect? It is Christ that died. That's the apostles' clear argument. Jesus died for me. Therefore, there is no more wrath upon me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I hope that's going to be you. What a tragedy it would be for you to perish in eternity for all time without a Savior. I move on to number four. I had a few things I was going to say in under that heading, and let me say them. I thank God for this gospel. I thank God that this is the gospel I heard as a young teenager, and I thank God that I started preaching this gospel, John 3:16, as a 20-year-old. And I thank God that that was the great nudge to call me into the gospel ministry, and that for 46 years I've been preaching the same gospel. I said to my wife this morning, I might be accused of being repetitive, but I haven't changed the message. And we're here today as believers in the Lord Jesus, more confident, more secure, more resting in this glorious gospel than ever before. And there's something wonderful about being a Free Presbyterian to go along with it. We are Reformed. We are in the heritage of fundamentalists. We are conservative. We seek to be doctrinal. We seek to be separated. But we're separated unto the gospel, not to be different, but to be a gospel-minded people. We have a gospel-minded ministry, a gospel church, to produce a gospel people who will sing and glorify the Lord through the gospel. And there is still laid upon us this exhortation, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I am carrying the blood of your soul today. Your soul is in my hands today. I have to be conscious of the weight of my ministry. If I were just to preach to you some little nice human stories, let you go home laughing in the things of this world, your blood would be upon my hands. But I'm here today to tell you that God sent his Son into the world to deliver you from hell. And you are called. There is room for you in the whosoever believeth should not perish. If you perish, you will never say there was no invitation. You will never say, I didn't know. You will never say, I was lost and nobody cared. I move to the guarantee now. Jesus is the guarantee of the Father's eternal life. Allow me to finish the text, that we should not perish, but have eternal life. How can I know that I have eternal life? Well, we certainly need faith in the Lord Jesus, for he is the guarantee. My faith is not in men. My faith is not in churchmen, nor in churches. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Jesus' sinless life is my guarantee. No one would search more for some sin in the life of the Son of God than me, because I'm depending on Him. I am preaching Him. I'm telling the world about Him. And if there is some sin in the Son of God, then I lose all hope. But His sinless life stands out, and it's the guarantee that He is my worthy, all-sufficient Savior. Jesus' atoning death, making reconciliation, is my guarantee. God the Father accepts me. I am dealt with as the beloved. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. Jesus' resurrection is my guarantee. He's alive. He has conquered the grave. He is triumphant. And so we take the name of Jesus and we rejoice in the guarantee. He's the guarantee. Doesn't depend on me. Doesn't depend on my performance. I could lose my memory, which is very possible, and fail to preach a word to you today that would make any sense. I'm not depending on my preaching to get to heaven. That's a good thing. I know what some of my colleagues would say to that. They'd say, Ian, there wouldn't be hope for you. Not depending on good works, not depending on our religious activities and ceremonies, not depending on some new, turning a new page. Every page in my life is stained. All my good works are but filthy rags. Can't get to heaven on that. It's the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God. Take Jesus' name out of it, and there's no guarantee. And that's why if you're living without Jesus as your Savior, you have no hope of heaven. You're a lost soul. You're perishing. You're headed for eternal destruction. This is our gospel. And I thank God for the privilege of preaching this wonderful gospel to you. In 25 words, we have the gospel from A to Z. How many words does it take you to hell? Just one word. Sin. Because one sin means everlasting destruction. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Just one sin and you're lost. Did you know that there are no gospel texts in hell? You will never see a placard, a poster with John 3:16 in the caverns of the damned. There is no gospel pulpit in hell because there's no Bible in hell. It's a place of darkness. There is no Savior in hell. There is no cross in hell. There is no cleansing blood to wash away sin in hell. And Revelation 16 tells me there is no repentance in hell. All the perishing souls are filled with glee. It's the glee of rebellion. It's the glee of rebellion and godlessness. And as they cry out in their paeans, it is but to cry out against God. That's the state of the lost. God's saving purposes is to stop a sinner outside the gate of hell. And above the door and the gates of hell are written, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." There is no gospel there. But on this first Sunday of the year, there's hope. Hope for your soul. There's a wonderful Savior with his arms wide open, saying to the whosoever, "Come, believe, and receive, and you are wonderfully saved." So don't throw away that hope. Don't lose hope. Write your name in the whosoever. What is your name? Is it John or Susan? Mine's Ian. When I read John 3:16, I can read it this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," that if Ian believes in him, "he shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I had an email this week from a listener to our webcast over the years, and she said that she was just reminded of something that I preached years ago that stuck with her. And she heard me saying, "I'll never be in hell." And it's true. It's true. It sounds like a bold, braggish statement. But for the believer, the Christian, it's true. Can you say today it's true for you that you will never be in hell? Oh, I would that this text would become yours. I would that this gift of God would be well received by faith, and that you will bow the knee and say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, God the Father sent you. You came and fulfilled everything. And I'm taking by faith the life, the gift, the salvation that you've purchased for me." Let's unite in prayer, please. Father, we thank thee for this way of access into your presence. And we thank thee for the clarity of your word, in which there is no ambiguity. The promises are clear, the guarantees are real. And oh, we pray that God the Holy Spirit will take this word, this text, and write it upon hearts. I think of the children here today. Lord, will you save them? I think of guests or friends, webcast listeners. Will you save them, Lord? I think of some soul that is now battling. Maybe I should be saved. We know, Lord, there's no maybe about it. Oh, Lord, draw them. Draw them by your Spirit. Call them to know thee today. And may the power of Jesus' blood be applied to a sinner's life. And may the blessing of God rest upon each heart. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with every believer now and evermore. Amen. If you know that you need to be saved today, the Lord is calling you. Would you please come? I'll be glad to talk with you. I know that many here would likewise be happy to talk with you. Just come. Put your trust today in the Savior. Amen.